This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrims Play podcast. And right off the top, we'd like to thank the SP podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate.
This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Scrimmage Play podcast. And, you know, we got a lot of football to talk about, but we got to start with our Road Grader of the Week presented by C&G Paving. Really excited about this one because, you know, we've had a bunch of defensive linemen. We've had some offensive linemen mixed in there, but we've had a lot of defensive linemen. But a true road grader performance with an offensive lineman, Henry Sowers, a guy for Western Almar who really had just a monster game for the Warriors last week. Western really got into a groove against Fluvanna County. They were rushing the ball really well. Carter Shiflett ended up with 17 carries for 121 yards and 4 touchdowns, and Sowers was a big reason why. He's taking on a really tough Fluvanna defensive line, a Fluvanna defense in general that had done a really nice job lately, only holding teams to like one touchdown a game most games. A really solid performance, you know, throughout the, you know, early part of the season, and then Western Almar just steps up in a big way, and Sowers was a big reason why. You know, this is an offensive line that returned only one starter in Ben Life, and the rest of the guys is just a complete, you know, a complete rebuild, and it's taken a little time. They showed us some really nice flashes against Waynesboro, but then a couple of, you know, it just has been tough for Western to get the ball rolling because it just hasn't been, you know, the protection hasn't been at the level that you would hope. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Carter Shiflett talked, the quarterback for the Warriors, talked about how they really, you know, that offensive line really owned that. They understood that. They understood that they needed to, you know, get to work and fix that. And they showed a lot of life against Waynesboro, a bigger step, really, against Fluvanna County to really pave the way. Sowers was matched up a lot of times with Walt Stribling, who's a real monster there for Fluvanna County. He did a nice job of neutralizing him. You know, they've got another guy, Trevor Wade, at Fluvanna that, you know, really can make some noise on the defensive line. And Western's offensive line really handled it. A tremendous job by Sowers, and just an easy pick for C&G Road Grader of the Week.
So that's our Road Grader of the Week, and then we look at Offensive Player of the Week, and there's two guys that really stand out for getting the job done on the ground. You got to see one of them in Orange County's Jalen Alexander.
Yeah, I mean, he's been running up against so many rough defenses, and we've seen the numbers, and somehow he finds a way to get over 100, even the Louisa game last week. And then, you know, coming into the Charlottesville game, it was, all right, what's it going to look like, 20 touches for him in a game like this? And yeah, 226 yards, 3 touchdowns. And it was just, I mean, 7-8 yards a clip. You know, he had one 40-yard run showcasing some speed and some physical runs in there. But just real smart running on his part. There's a couple times he steps out of bounds because he knows, I mean, coming forward, they're gonna lean on him hard as they try, and we'll talk more about the playoffs later. But they need him healthy. And then you got to really like Orange's a run-first team right now, even though they mix in the pass with Walker Johnson. But they're showing teams, telling teams, you have to show us how to stop the run, and we're going to do it with Jalen first, Noah Carey afterwards, Paul Poirier as well. They've got a nice stable of backs there, and he leads the way. Just a great performance for him, and it's going to be fun to watch them sort of finishing out this this season.
Yeah, and you got to like their offensive line has obviously improved. It's opening some gaps. They had a lot of guys back up front.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing is, I mean, that schedule was so rough up front, and we've talked about that ad nauseum, but, I mean, part of the thing that happens is you just get dinged up. Mm-hmm. And so they're getting healthier up there. They're developing more chemistry. They're not worried about playing teams that are, you know, I mean, just absolutely outsizing them. Now they're the ones that are larger. I mean, there was a noticeable size difference between Orange and Charlottesville. And we're probably going to see the same thing when they play Monticello next week, that, you know, Orange has a distinct advantage up front. And then that's going to lead to big rushing games from Alexander, Carey, and Poirier.
Yeah, and I think it's exciting to see because, you know, we're going to talk about – you talked about the playoffs. We're going to talk about sort of the madness of the JD. And Orange County is like one of those teams that you just don't know any given week what you're going to get. And a heck of a performance for them against Charlottesville. And Jalen Alexander, we know how much that guy's been grinding over the years. Great to see him have that kind of success. We got to split that award, though, Offensive Player of the Week, because a huge game and a huge win for Fork Union, Vijon Hampton, 28 carries, 182 yards, and a touchdown. That's a big win against Trinity Episcopal, a good squad that has a bunch of quality wins to their name already.
Yeah, and he's put together a lot of solid performances so far, and in some of these losses, too. That's a guy that's really toting the ball well for them, and they have to have that. They obviously have the weapons outside between Elijah Hawks and Montego Moss. This is a team that can whip the ball around the field, get guys in open space, and make big plays quickly. But Hampton, that's a guy, a chain mover for them. And like you said, a huge win over Trinity. Fork Union came out strong to start the season and ran into like a little bit of a stumbling block there. Tough loss to St. Chris. That kind of thing. This puts them back in play with Collegiate coming up, a chance to really move up in the playoff rankings and get back into that position. They haven't been there since 2012, and if they can finish here strong, keep riding Hampton with the hot hand in the rushing game, maybe something happens here.
Hampton's a guy who converted. He was a defensive back mostly for him last year, and he got the whole season started off in their scrimmage at Fluvanna. I think it was against New Kent that they were playing at that point, but he ripped off an 80-yard touchdown run just like it was nothing on like a basic halfback off-tackle type play. I mean, he's a guy who can take to the house anytime. He's going to move the chains. Vijon Hampton just really emerging as one of the best backs in the area. Just a tremendous player all the way around and exciting for Fort Union. Like you said, they've got Collegiate. They've got Woodbury left. They've got, a chance to make some moves and pick up some wins and, like you said, get themselves back into that kind of position. It's certainly they're not playing for next year right now. They're playing for right now. So a big game for them with Collegiate coming up this week. And then you flip over and Defensive Player of the Week, Austin Sims, an interception against Monticello, but it's about more than that with Sims. That was a big defensive play, but this is a guy who's, we've talked about him before. He's just one of the most well-rounded, complete guys defensively, and they've moved him into the middle. He's making a lot of noise there where Brandon Smith made a lot of noise in the past. It's exciting to see Austin Sims get locked into that spot and to play as well as he had, especially with the numbers that the Louisa defense is starting to stack up.
Yeah, that's somebody who's been through an awful lot for a football career. I mean, sophomore year coming in on that 2017 team that was just loaded with defensive studs. And for him to be able to carve out a spot in that defense, sort of playing a linebacker safety role kind of thing. That's just really impressive for a kid that age to be able to do that when the people he's competing with. I mean, they're all seniors and juniors and
that
all very talented.
That roster was so loaded in 17. Yeah.
So if you work your way onto the field in that and sort of that year as a sophomore, then you're doing something really well. And then going through some injuries and coming back strong from that. So, I mean, he's having another great year. I think there's a lot of glue in this defense. You can point to a lot of guys, whether it's Aaron Aponte or Austin Sims. There's just a lot of different moving pieces that work so well. It's just kind of a well-oiled machine kind of vibe you get from them. Each game, one of these guys is going to be able to adapt and step up. But, I mean, Sims has been doing this for a long time. He's a tackling machine. He's a big, tall dude. It's hard
Rangy.
To get around him. It's
Fast.
Just hard to get around him.
Yeah, he's quick. I mean, the numbers, though, are nuts.
Yeah, this is hilarious.
Louisa's defense is just historically, statistically, so ridiculous right now. I mean, what do we got?
So just in this game last week, we got 107 yards is what they gave up.
Against a team that has a really dynamic quarterback, but they didn't have to step on it and really step up.
You have
and
your second team defense putting up some of these numbers.
That's right. Yeah, that's worth noting.
Yeah, so 2.1 yards per play.
You can go for it on fourth down all you want. If you're only getting 2.1, you're not going to get there.
For the season, I mean, you're looking at 40.2 passing yards per game. That's nothing.
It's not. It's negligible. It's a rounding error of yardage. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. So they're giving up 127 yards on the ground. Okay, maybe that's not a great number, but then you compare. Oh, what did they give up in the passing game? 40. So 167 yards per game. And let's remember the schedule they played up front. So those numbers factor, like the Massaponics game is in here, in these numbers.
The schedule's in there. Not only that, but the fact that the offense is torching people in most games, throwing up 55 against Monticello, like that's involved in there. So the defense is getting, they're seeing more possessions, more opportunities, and they're still just not giving up very many yards, despite the fact that the offense maybe isn't controlling the clock. The
they had the
time.
Ball for 18 minutes against Monticello. Monticello had it for 30. So
I mean, these numbers are off the charts good.
So then that works out to, for the season, it's 3.55 yards per play, where they're averaging 6.781.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's just, you can't, that's really, really tough to crack. I mean, that is through the roof good. I don't remember exactly what, we'll try and dig it up and figure out what the 17 numbers were, but that defense was suffocating too. 18 defense was pretty suffocating as well. But like, these numbers are off the chart for a you know, a team that had to replace Brandon Smith, and it looks like that, I don't know, they're just really, really good at every single position. There's just no real weak link. And even, you know, the moment that I kind of realized it was against Charlottesville, where Aponte flies in and doesn't get the sack, but forces forces up, you know, a tough throw. And there's a guy just like glued to the receiver too. So like every little piece is covered. And probably if I had like expanded, you know, my vision a little bit, there was somebody who was standing home on the backside to make sure nothing was wrong. They play their positions incredibly well. They're super well coached and they're just doing an excellent job. The Louisa defense is something to behold. And Austin Sims is a big reason why.
Yeah. We heard Will Patrick talk about it in the huddle after the game. This is a state championship caliber defense.
Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it week to week. You know, they're taking this thing on tour right now.
Yeah.
And everyone's getting to see it sort of
now inside. They get to go up to Kettle Run this week, who's 0-6. So we can probably imagine how that's going to go.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. This is kind of an interesting time of year for Louisa, where it's almost like showcase time. Like, let's just show everybody what we're capable of doing. Just so you get an idea of what it's like to go up against it. Like, I mean, the first couple drives against Louisa, you're going to see it. I think, they're not going to take it lightly on you.
I think it was last year on the weekly briefing on CBS 19, I said something to the effect of, eventually Louisa does have to lose a district game.
Yeah.
And Will Patrick, I wouldn't say he took offense to it, but like he noted it because his contention is that, no, maybe they don't.
Yeah.
And
you
right
said,
now,
I think
conceivably
was, yeah,
they have to lose a game in the district. And but right now, they're kind of proving that maybe they don't have to.
Do they really?
Do they really? Yeah. Do they really have to lose one? They may not right now. Louise is just playing really good football. Incredible job that they've done with that program. And it just continues to clip along. So that's our road grader, our offensive player of the week, our defensive player of the week. And now a quick update on what's going on in the playoff rankings. We got a little bit of movement, especially with the upset. Well, whatever it was, Western over Fluvanna, that shook things up a little bit in Region 3C.
Yeah, Region 3C is sort of just going to be, I mean, it's been our theme for the Jefferson District because so many of the teams are tied in there. But with that loss, you have Fluvanna sliding down to 7th.
Yeah.
And so we had talked about them maybe coming out with a couple wins here, strong to close the season, and maybe sliding up enough to get a home game. And that looks like a real uphill battle now. They've got some big games coming up. That Orange Fluvanna game looks like that's going to determine someone's season there,
yeah,
whether or not you get entry into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's a couple weeks from now. But Western sits there at 10th, so big win for them. Obviously, they dropped that game to Monroe. If they could have that one back, they would love it.
Mm-hmm.
But now sitting in there at 10th, can they finish strong? That's a huge win for them against Fluvanna. Their season was over if they lose that game,
yeah,
you know, for playoff purposes.
Sure.
And so we'll see how it goes going forward. But, yeah, it's a lot of movement. That is a tough region. I mean, it's you're more fortunate if you're on the other side in 3B than to be in 3C right now.
Yeah,
it's just
3B's where Goochland is the top seed right now, and Monroe is, and it shifts down a little bit with the Brentsville loss, where they led until there were about 4 minutes left. A tough break for the Dragons in that one. And then, you know, but they get a chance to play themselves back in because they're going to play a lot of teams that are in that region, so they can kind of control their own fate a little bit.
They're still a ninth. If they can make some moves here at the end of the season, their schedule's favorable too in some areas. They're in ninth, and there's not a huge gap in points between, you know, they're sitting there at 15, and the teams above them are 17, 17, 18, and 18.
Yeah.
So they can
work to be done, yeah, but certainly it favors them to be able to kind of wedge their way back into it. Orange, you know, with the win over Charlottesville, Region 4B is very difficult. It's not nearly as like crazy stacked as it has been in the past, where like the top four teams were all unbeaten. But
it's Orange, pretty close.
Orange, but it isn't far off. Louisa and Eastern View are tearing people up there, and Louisa's sitting first, Eastern View second, and then Orange is floating down there at 12th and trying to find a way to kind of wedge themselves back in.
Yeah, with Spotsy and Monacan one loss teams there, those top four, I mean, they're pretty much sewn up. I assume both those squads will be able to finish out strong. But yeah, you're looking there, Orange, with what they have left in their season, between Monticello, Fluvanna, Western, there's an opportunity for them to sort of
gotta
slide
run
up
the table, but
yeah,
it's doable.
But with the, you know, Western getting that win, if Fluvanna can pick up a couple wins, Monticello pick up a win maybe here or there,
yeah,
we'll find out if that's enough to move them into place. They're going to have to hop over some pretty good teams. You got a Chancellor team in there, a Powhatan team sort of in the mix, Dinwiddie's there. These teams are all sort of 3-3, 3-4, 4-3. And Orange getting that second win over Charlottesville was huge. But yeah, that's sort of the gauntlet that they have to run. And it's interesting. I mean, of all these groups, 3C is definitely the messiest.
It's a mess.
And that says a lot to, I mean, it's funny how that 3C and 4B are sort of going to play off each other, because Fluvanna and Western having to play Orange, that's sort of the wheel that spins around. Spite. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what we wanted to talk about. The Jefferson District has become outside of Louisa.
Yeah, you just take them out and pretend like they don't matter.
And take the other six teams, it legitimately looks like a roulette wheel right now.
I mean, yeah, especially with Albemarle getting healthier, picking up a win and showing that they can run the ball the way they did 2 weeks ago. It's going to be interesting.
We know Charlottesville's kind of a match. Last year they stole one late. You never know what's going to happen with the Black Knights.
They showed flashes against Orange. We saw flashes against Fluvanna. And they've sort of been shooting themselves in the foot a little bit, but they're getting some guys back. Hopefully Isaiah Washington is good to go. I know he was a little dinged up in that game against Orange. But getting Latarius Jackson involved in the mix, a kid they've been missing for a little bit. You know, a big touchdown run from him. And showcasing a lot of speed. And then defensively, again, Charlottesville's been opportunistic here and there, but it's really just a matter of coming up with the big stops on third down, not giving up big plays for them. And if they can stay close with that triple option, Jesse Lohr talked about it after the game, that's just really tough to have just a couple days of practice to prepare for. Even if you've done it, you know, year after year, if you're a senior leader on a defense, you sort of know what the Charlottesville week of practice is going to look like. It still doesn't make it that much easier.
No.
So, yeah, they could be a factor in this. And Monticello, Western, Orange, Fluvanna, all these teams, I mean, there's just Albemarle. We don't know.
Yeah, it's just really hard to tell. It's hard to tell what's going on. It's hard to figure out, you know, what's going to happen. I think that, you know, I don't think everybody saw Western coming up with a win over Fluvanna. Western's just kind of riding a little bit of a roller coaster right now, whether it's Waynesboro, whether it's, you know, a big win, or whether it's Monticello with a letdown and Monroe with a letdown and then back up with Fluvanna. So I just think it's kind of all over the board right now. That's fun in a way, but I think that it is going to start taking its toll on teams when it comes to the playoff ratings, because a lot of teams had really tough schedules coming into this or didn't perform against schedules that they had. And so teams are coming into the district with a lot of losses. We talked about that what's got to be a historic number of losses from the Charlottesville, Albemarle, Western, Monticello quartet. And, you know, we know that Orange got housed pretty good in their first few games, a couple of close losses, but they had really tough competition as well. So you take all that into account, it just looks very, very difficult for teams to kind of make their way, especially when you just don't know where you're going to get wins.
And I think what this is going to come down to, what we saw in the Western Fluvanna game, particularly for Western, quarterback play. If Carter Shiflett can play like he did on Friday, Western has a chance to run this table.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, conversely with Orange, if Jalen can keep putting up 220 yards, they're going to be, Orange is going to be tough to stop. And obviously, they can sort of mix in a little bit of Walker Johnson in there, here and there, passing-wise. Jariq Washington's such a good threat for them on the outside. If Orange can be diverse that way, in sort of the way that Western has been diverse and mixing up with Shiflett and Shiflett there, and, you know, obviously Mendenhall as well. It's who's going to step up in these last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, who's going to sort of under center provide the difference
and take control, because it's there's a lot of football left to play, but a lot of spots that people are trying to fight for. Quickly on the private school side, Blue Ridge with a big win on the road against Atlantic Shores.
Big shutout, yeah.
But they get it's going to get much tougher for them going forward. They got Benedictine still hanging out there on the schedule. All the teams that they play going forward are one-loss squads right now, starting with Roanoke Catholic this week. So a difficult stretch coming up for the Barons, but they've got to feel pretty good at number two in Division Two. A huge win against Atlantic Shores. They looked really, really good offensively. The way they're using Lance Gaskins, he could have easily been a guy that was Offensive Player of the Week. He or Isis Lewis had a big game as well. The way they're using Gaskins on end arounds and the way that they're attacking with him downfield, that is a big body who is real tough to guard. They may eventually, if they can kind of stay on track, keep things rolling, they may eventually get their second shot at North Cross, which is, you know, likely to be a big part of the focus for them right now. So, Blue Ridge, work to do against a really tough schedule, but a lot coming up. We talked about Fork Union briefly earlier. Yeah,
at 3-3, they should move up a good amount, based on, you know, Trinity was sitting there with a, you know, 5-2 record. So that's a, like we said, it was a huge win. And we'll see if they can slide in. Trinity was in that four spot, mm-hmm. And that's where you have to move up. You got to pass Flint Hill and St. Stephen, St. Agnes, if you're Fork Union, with a couple games left to play there.
Yeah, and big games, big chances for wins for Fork Union. So a lot of football left. We're kind of at that point where, like, the things have got to start changing
right
now. There's
some must-win games coming up.
Yep, and we'll get into them. Get into them this week. A lot of coverage, weekly briefing will be up a little bit later this week. We had a ton of games, game coverage coming up over Friday and Saturday. A lot of games to play, a lot of important games to play. So we hope you'll be back with us, and thank you for listening.